superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I want to start there.
Mookie Betts is doing everything.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We're going to hear about the superstar Mookie Betts.
The Rich Eisen Show.
We just got to bounce back. This isn't the scenario that we wanted.
The Rays are going to win in seven.
Today's guests, Pro Football Hall of Famer Chris Carter, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt, Kansas City Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce, plus actor and comedian Patton Oswalt. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. 3 hours worth, starting right here on Peacock, Sirius XM, the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network. We say a good Wednesday to all of you. That is also including my two guys across the aisle.
Hey, how are you, bud?
Mike Del Tufo, good to see you, gents. How are you?
What's going on?
What are we doing?
What are you so excited about?
I'm in a great mood. It's Wednesday. We're alive. Everything's going great.
I guess that's a great way to look at it.
I figured out how to mute Mookie from my Twitter timeline last night, so no one...
I didn't see any of the trolls.
I don't understand
why you would want to... Mute Mookie.
The number of tweets I'm getting daily now,
yes,
and nightly,
yes,
just asking me if I've seen how he's doing, how I feel about him being on the dot. It's too much. So I had to mute the word Mookie.
I don't understand. It's been a long time since Mookie Wilson was active.
Exactly. Nice.
I don't know. When was the last time Mookie Blaylock made a basket?
Let's see what you did.
96, probably. Oh, well,
I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen Do the Right Thing.
About to say, Mookie, I mean, you want some pizza delivered? Mookie got you.
I love pizza.
That Mookie.
Oh, the baseball player. Yeah. He delivers hits.
Oh, you know what he delivers?
Oh, you're so funny.
You know what he delivers? Free tacos. Free taco.
How great is that graphic? That
was great. That was great. In his career, MVP awards, one. Yeah. World Series, one. Free tacos for America, two. Because when you steal a base in the World Series, free tacos for America. How do we redeem that?
I've done that. You go.
You just show up and you're like, I want my free taco.
Yep.
But there's a specific day.
Yeah, and time. Yeah.
I was about to say, like, do they stamp you? Like when you leave Disneyland, you get a stamp and then you have to...
No.
Show it?
I think
or...
you could go to any, like, around town.
Hold on.
You get a dozen tacos.
You guys just thought, I'm going to go to more than... You just got it. You're right. We're going to multiple.
Mike, you just figured that out?
I just figured the system.
Oh, the guy that wears free stuff.
I just want free and fair tacos. That's all I want, okay?
You want one.
Are these just from Taco Bell? Or?
Yeah,
I
just
no
can I go to Tito's?
No, hey. Just Taco Bell. Just
let me rein this in a little bit here.
Sorry.
And I know Mookie's getting the attention, well-deserved. Cody Bellinger, well-deserved.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shoulder seems fine. As Bellinger, according to our good friend Jason Stark, did you see this nugget that he tweeted out?
I did not.
Last guy to hit a go-ahead home run in Game 7 of an LCS.
And then hit
a go-ahead home run in the very next game in Game 1 of the World Series. Since David Ortiz in 2004. And interestingly enough, who was in the ballpark? And benefited from both in 2004 for David Ortiz, Dave Roberts.
I know.
He's been there for both, benefited from both. One is a guy who helped steal a base and in the Game 7 of an LCS, and then another guy who won the World Series with David Ortiz. And now one game to nothing on the Tampa Bay Rays. And part of the reason why Mookie's stellar five-tool playing and Cody Bellinger's stellar stick work, despite having a bad wing based on
a home run celebration
from that Game 7 go-ahead home run. Despite all of that, it held up. You know why it held up? Because the much maligned Clayton Kershaw spun his best World Series game, best you could say, with everything on the line and needing to get out at the gate on a team that may be so young that they don't know how good they have it right now and whether they'll ever get back there again. That typical young team that makes a championship game round Super Bowl that they might not know what they don't know. And you don't want that team to start off well. Put it all together, and it's been a long time since we were waiting for that, and we saw it. Clayton Kershaw, fantastic. Difficult first inning. John Smoltz showing off why he's one of the best analysts in all of television, saying if he gets out of this first inning, watch him cruise. He got out of the first inning, two runners on, got out of that, and then he cruised.
Yeah, leadoff single, and you're like, uh-oh, here we go.
Gave up a home run to Kiermaier and one other hit, and that was it. Good for him. Good people, and in the state of Texas. Never thought he'd ever pitch a World Series game in the state of Texas against a team from Florida, but that is the pandemic. But in his native Texas, getting it done. Good dude, good guy. And they're up one game to nothing in the World Series. Mookie Betts, baby. He is so friggin' good. Yeah. So I'm sorry you're getting all those tweets, but get ready. I think he got maybe just this weekend get through it. That's about it.
You think it's sweepstitch?
I don't think so. Yeah, it's game five is Sunday.
Wow.
Game six.
We're just totally writing off the Rays already?
I'm not writing them off. It's baseball. They could come back today.
Yeah,
we've seen the Dodgers get hit in the mouth for two games by Atlanta and then put an 11th spot in the first inning and then still come back. I'm trying to keep things bright for you. That's all.
Oh, that's all right. I shut the game off when it was 6-1.
But when it's Kershaw, Betts, Bellinger, that's, you know, and their best pitcher in Glasnow is up and down, and Arozarena doesn't reach base except for a walk, that's going to be a wrap. Now, it's Tony Gonsolin, who Justin Turner, when he called in last week on our show, revealed he's a cat guy. It's too bad. Don't you think he should have gotten the game four start since it's Catter Day?
Oh.
Don't you think?
Well done.
He could have landed on all 4 feet.
Actually,
on Saturday?
You should text Dave Roberts and be like,
right now.
Bro,
I don't know what you're doing.
Not sure if you're busy. Not sure if you need any help with the rotation.
I'm sure he's got a lot of analytics on his desk.
Yes.
But here's another one.
Put aside the binder.
It's time for Blake Snell to come up big tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Don't want to fall down 2-0 to this Dodger team.
I mean, if they fall down 2-0, that's a wrap.
World Series, baby. World Series. So that's that. We'll hit it if you would care to a little bit more. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on this busy Wednesday. Normally, this is a day where we do look forward to the National Football League week that's about to hit.
We do have a game tomorrow.
We do. It's Eagles-Giants.
Kind of big.
We're making this sort of staccato. It's the anti-higher register where we try to talk about something seriously and make it sound bigger than it really is.
Exactly.
And it's Giants-Eagles.
It's NFC East showdown.
Now we can go higher register. Hey, man, that whole division's up for grabs. I mean,
Carson Wentz was pretty good last week.
You have no idea. The Giants almost beat the Rams, and then they almost beat the Cowboys, and they finally got to win because Riverboat Ron is trying to teach the guys how to win by going for two in the last second, and you never know. Certainly when Washington and Dallas is playing each other, hey.
Hey,
it's a higher register Thursday.
Winner could be in first place.
The winner will be in first place.
The NFC is not that bad.
Because after the Washington football teams beats the Cowboys, then you're going to have a three-way tie at 2-5 if you're the Giants.
Everybody's in that game with each other.
Oh, boy. How about another game to focus on, potentially?
Please. Anything.
You know, and the Sunday night game is great with John Gruden and the Raiders coming off a bye, welcoming in the team that he won a Super Bowl with in Tampa that now has Super Bowl aspirations of its own because it's Tom Brady that's coming in, and we all know that Gruden could add a championship potentially with the Raiders if that Tuck rule was actually miscalled by the officials. It was the right call.
Properly interpreted.
Properly interpreted. Yeah. I hated the rule, and they finally got it out of there.
Yeah.
So there's that fascinating Sunday Night Football game on our friends on NBC. That's a great game. Pittsburgh and Tennessee, baby. That was supposed to be set for week four, pushed to week seven. Lo and behold, both teams are, in fact, still undefeated. That's a huge game as well. You've got under the radar, certainly because that Monday night game, Bears and Rams, is going to get some people's attention. Under the radar, Seahawks and Cardinals, two of the most fun teams to watch in the NFL. Seahawks and Cardinals. Seahawks play a game like the frenetic pace of a gum-chomping coach that they have. Russell Wilson just pulling out of every orifice. DK Metcalf. I mean, DK Metcalf and DeAndre Hopkins, you could make the case the two best wide receivers in the game, two most physical, catch radius, try and stop me, win every snap, win every 50-50 ball. Wide receivers are going to be on the field. Kyler Murray v. Russell Wilson. Who could make more plays? I can't wait for that. And the beautiful thing is there's another such contest later on this season because they're in the same division. Can't wait. Cannot wait. Now then, couple of and you got the Chiefs taking on the Denver Broncos as well. A game that we might touch upon briefly with our first guest of hour number three, Travis Kelce.
Oh.
Yes. And our first guest joining us today is Minnesota Vikings, not doing too well. Same thing with the Eagles, who sent him to Minnesota, where he had a Hall of Fame run. Chris Carter will be joining us first up. He was in Minnesota this past week. His daughter works for the Vikings. The two of them together visited the George Floyd Memorial site. And that's part of his work for NFL The Grind, the show that I host on Epix that will air on Epix tonight at 9 Eastern time. Chris Carter on Justin Jefferson as well. But there's so many different ways to have a conversation with Chris. And we'll have that in 8 minutes time. Kyle Brandt's always fun with him. Patton Oswalt will join the show. That'll be great when he joins us as well. Good times on that front. And then there's another team on the bye week that has taken over the news in the NFL. Your 3-3 Miami Dolphins making news yesterday. Well, they didn't make the news. Wow. Adam Schefter found out the news.
Right.
And reported the news that became officially news from the Dolphins today, that they are, in fact, turning to Tua Tagovailoa, the fifth overall pick in the draft, the team that had been rumored to be tanking for this man since the minute he looked off a safety in the national championship game and gave Alabama the championship that Jalen Hurts hoped to have brought them. But Tua coming off the bench at halftime, everybody. Coming off the bench at halftime.
After rumors he might transfer.
That is all... in the ether. The Dolphins got him anyway because he got hurt. Took him anyway despite having hip surgery. Believed in him, and now he's about to pay that thing forward. Brian Flores, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, making it official on the old Zoom machine today. And this is what he had to say on this front. When asked, why now? That was the question of the day yesterday. Why now? You're 3-3. Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing very, very well. He's the steady veteran hand. When you're 3-3, don't you have a shot at a division that you're only one game out of, even though you already lost to the team that's in front of you? Of course you do. That's a rhetorical question. Here was the answer to the actual question. Why now?
We talked about it as a staff. Chris, personnel department, we just felt like it was the best move for the team right now. You know, we feel like, you know, through practice and meetings and walkthroughs, that he's ready, and that's how we're going to go moving forward.
Now, in case you missed it yesterday, I blue check marked that move yesterday. I gave it a seal of approval in my mind. I approve that message, to use the phrase of the day right now. I was surprised pleasantly that they would make a maneuver like this. It takes gumption, takes guts. The only parallel I could come up with since I've been covering the sport on a daily 24/7, 365 basis with NFL Network is my compadre from NFL Game Day Morning, Kurt Warner, in 2004 getting the start despite Eli Manning being chosen first overall. And then about a third of the way through the season, I think the Giants were 3-4, if I'm not mistaken, in the mix. Kurt will tell you to this very day that he thought that the Giants that he was quarterbacking at the time had a shot at the playoffs. And here's a guy who had won a Super Bowl and an MVP in that Super Bowl and an MVP in the league. And Tom Coughlin says to him, "We're benching him. Here comes Eli." Didn't make the playoffs that year, but it did prove, obviously, as we all know, to be the decision that paid dividends with not one but two Lombardi trophies and has Tom Coughlin in position to get a bust and a jacket one day, should he be so fortunate. Not saying that's what Tua is going to do for Miami, and I'm not saying that they're out of the playoffs this year either. I'm saying that this guy is special and that the only other instance I can recall of where somebody came in and performed very well in this division and took them on the road and nobody saw that coming would be Tom Brady in 2001. Not saying that he's going to be a six-time champion or saying that he's going to take the Dolphins to the Super Bowl this year. I'm just saying that when Brady trotted on that field on that day in week two of the 2001 season, that the players knew who was coming on the field and in the huddle. A kid who balled out in practices and training camp, who looked the part and had the mastery and command and also the respect. And Brian Flores, I think, has seen that. He's special, man. Anybody who's ever been around him is aware of how special he is. Trent Dilfer came on the show and said he's the best I've ever seen. And the Dolphins have that guy under the helmet and that guy in the pads. And we'll see what happens when he goes on down on that field. And I'm already sensing it already. I see it in terms of when we talk about it on the show. I texted you yesterday. I'll say it and I'll say it here. What do you think? Should I pop it out here?
I think you should.
He's got a Tebow-like following. People love Tua. Oh, my gosh. Do they love him? And South Florida, I think, is about to fall in love with this guy, who I've now compared in some way, shape, or form to Kurt Warner or Eli Manning, Tom Brady, and Tim Tebow, who are all over the map in terms of obvious success. But in terms of popularity, I think Tua's there. Oh, my gosh. Do people love this guy? And I think they'll follow him. And I think he's got obviously a better NFL game than Tebow, both lefties. But I think they both have a special aspect to them, and I think people are going to follow him, and I think they're going to love him. And I think it's now making the Miami Dolphins as relevant as they have been since Marino was with Shula. That's a fact. I know. Pump the brakes. He hasn't played yet. He damn nearly lost his hip. First game up when he comes out of the gate against the Los Angeles Rams in the first overall selection in Jared Goff. Who's not wanting to see that? Then against Kyler Murray. Who doesn't want to see that? Tua v. Kyler on the same field. Then Justin Herbert, the guy who was chosen after Tua because the Dolphins took him. Then Denver, Drew Locke. Look, we've seen what this Denver defense just did to Cam Newton. And then Drew Locke has got some ability, as we all know. If Sam Darnold's out on that field, look, Tua can just beat the crap out of the Jets. The game against Cincinnati, Ryan Fitzpatrick versus Joe Burrow or Tua versus Joe Burrow? What do you think?
Now we're talking.
Okay. How about Tua versus Patrick Mahomes and then Cameron Newton? Come on now. And then week 16, week 17 against the Raiders, it's entirely possible that's for a playoff spot for either team. And then week 17 if I'm thinking as special as this guy can be and what can be done with him, Josh Allen, that could be for the whole division shooting match. I know I'm looking pie in the sky and optimistic, but the guy inspires that. He really does. I'm excited for you, Dolphins fans. I'm excited for you. Very excited. And kudos to Flores for making this move, because even if it doesn't work out for a playoff spot this year, so what? He's dipping his toe in the pool, wetting his beak a little bit, and then against those quarterbacks that I just mentioned for some of those games, that's the deep end of the NFL pool that he's dipping his toe in.
And if he has success the rest of the year, suddenly Miami's a free agent destination. Because you want to play with this kid.
No doubt.
And now they're set up in the future.
No doubt about it. What do you think? 844-204-RICH. We'll be taking your phone calls today. Kyle Brandt, the great pop culture question teed up for him that we're just going to make it our poll question of the day. That'll be fun to reveal. Travis Kelce of the Chiefs. Patton Oswalt, who's got an arm's length. And I do believe he's also Kyle Brandt's guest in his podcast this week. 844-204-RICH. When we come back, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, Chris Carter, on The Rich Eisen Show. How do you banish high rates on car insurance? You switch to GEICO during GEICOween. October is their favorite time of year, and the folks over at GEICO have been working even harder to cast out high rates and craft just the right policy for you and your family. Switching to GEICO isn't so scary, especially when they could brew up spellbinding savings just for you. So get a quote today at GEICO.com and see how much you could save. No eye of newt needed. Happy GEICOween, everybody. For Rich is the number to dial. Still to come, the Dallas Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy directly addressing the anonymous quotes given to my colleague at the NFL Media Group and NFL Network.
Oh, man.
Jane Slater directly addressing these comments from an unnamed player or two.
Anonymous.
So that's what the Cowboys have got on their plate. Jerry Jones did, in fact, chime in yesterday as well on his radio show, as predicted. Do we have those quotes for later on?
Not yet. We'll
get that
on.
Later on for our news. Well, that's what we've got 2.5 hours of runway for still to come. 2 hours and 37 minutes and counting right here on Peacock. Our radio audience is about to rejoin us, and that's when we will be welcoming in a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football, Travis Kelce of the Chiefs, Patton Oswalt of your comedy dial, and AP Bio right here on Peacock. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show with our radio network, and pleased once again to be joined by this Pro Football Hall of Famer whose work is going to be must to see, can't miss tonight on NFL The Grind, the NFL Films produced show for Epics. We're in year two, and it's a very special show as we not only look back at the week with some fun and a typical straight out-of-the-vault NFL Films-type fare of highlights from the previous week, and then a couple of in-depth stories from the previous week, and then look forward to the next week. That's on Epics every night, every Wednesday night at 9 Eastern time, and I'm your humble host for that. And fresh back from being a correspondent this week, where he made his Hall of Fame bones of the Vikings, is Pro Football Hall of Famer Chris Carter. How are you, Chris?
Rich, I'm doing very good. How are you?
I am doing fine. The piece that's been put together involving you tonight is moving. It's excellent, and I can't wait for everyone to have it. And that's part of the reason why I want to have you on is to preview it. It's personal in many different ways for you, and I give you the floor on what you did for The Grind in Minnesota this week.
Well, for one, Rich, as you know, you've been associated with the league and sports. And sometimes, you know, you go from generation to generation and from a very, very high expectation level of their wide receivers. Long before I got there, they had that expectation. It continued through myself and through Randy Moss. We took a lot of pride in that. It's like being a Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker. Like, there's certain things, certain characteristics that you really feel like you embraced those when you were there. And I believe that Justin Jefferson will be under the radar, underrated, the wide receiver from LSU. Last year, he scored 22 touchdowns, being one of many weapons on an undefeated football team. But seeing him and kind of passing the baton to him as a first-round draft pick into that legacy of the Vikings, and the Vikings, this is not their best season. It's from a starting standpoint, but he's having a record-breaking season nonetheless. So that's a main part of the focus. That's what brings me to Minneapolis to build, let the world see this young talent. I'll give you a name, a guy just inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch Justin Jefferson run, you'll see a lot of our man, Isaac Bruce, Reverend Ike.
Wow.
You'll see that flashing, that body type, that long stride, quiet, a real quiet assassin, not making media boasts, not being about commercials and stuff like that, but an efficient route runner, tremendous in traffic, 50-50 balls. Like, that's why I believe this kid, that's where the ceiling is as far as his career. And then right now, Minneapolis is a different than when I spent 12 years there in my life. And people might forget 1990 when I did go there, Rich, I went there with a lot of problems and a lot of baggage. And the people from Minnesota did everything they could to help me save my life and really give me the power that I can say now I'm 30 years sober, 30 years off cocaine, because of Minneapolis and the Vikings and the system they gave me. But after what we saw in George Floyd and everything that has come out, all the information, I'm not that surprised. So I thought that I couldn't go back there to a place that within miles of where I got my hair cut. And sometimes we go down on Fridays, as you know the ball players do, and visit little local establishments. It's right there with places where we used to go all the time. So I wanted to go there. I wanted to feel it. And it was far more put together as far as what's at the site, what continues to be there. So it was really a pleasure for me doing the story on Justin Jefferson. I'm seeing what's going on in the world as far as racial inequalities and George Floyd being right there. That could have been my son. That could have been one of my teammates. That could have been one of my uncles. So for me, I thought bringing some type of light to that because we were there. And, of course, no one does it better than NFL Films. I thought they would do it an exceptional job.
And wait till you see it tonight, Chris, 9 Eastern on Epix. And your daughter, who works for the Vikings, was with you, and that just made it even more moving that you are there together. What is it like to be there? Because it looks like that there is some sort of arrangement and setup and flowers and I'm trying to describe it a little bit for the radio audience right now, Chris. I mean, what is it like to be at the spot where George Floyd was murdered?
I would say it's a living memorial. They blocked off the streets. Actually, there's a dispute between the people, the streets. They blocked off 3 blocks. They won't let traffic go through there. They police it themselves. They have a number of demands that they want from city government, but they have it all blocked off. They have candles. They have a campfire set up. They have meetings 7 in the morning, 7 at night. There's fruits. There's vegetables growing. People planted trees around it. People have painted murals, beautiful murals and everything. And they keep coming back and changing them and upgrading them. It's more than where a man lost his life. And to me, you see that store right there, and all this was over $20. And to see what the people have done to memorialize that and to make us keep thinking about it, it's excellent. And I was not anticipating all of that. And so for me, I won't forget that day. So I'm just glad we were able to do it. And do it the right way.
And it's memorialized by NFL Films. That'll be tonight on NFL The Grind on Epix at 9 Eastern time. Returning to the football aspect of why you were there, why are the Vikings 1-4? I mean, what gives, I guess, is the short question on that front. Chris?
Well, a couple of things. This is a very, very unique year. And in the off season, I was telling my circle of friends and people who would listen, this is a different year. I would give the edge to the veteran coaches. But now that the season started, the veteran coaches. I mean, this is such a different NFL as far as practice squad players you can use, the lack of physicality, the lack of tackling. Man, if you get an offensive lineman or two hurt, man, you might as well phone it on in. You know, so for me, I think it's a more even playing field with some of the other coaches that don't have as much experience. I hope you understand that, Rich. But I'm really shocked at just how bad defenses are. Like, I'm really shocked. I know offensive football, you can play it in shorts, you can play it in a pandemic, and with the lack of a crowd, offensive football is so much easier. So there's a few surprises for me as far as the year. And the Vikings, they just haven't been that good up front the last couple years. And they lost some key veteran players because of salary cap. You know, Everson Griffin, you lose him. You know how much leadership goes out with him. When Dalvin Cook is not playing, we have seen that through the years. They are a different football team. And they are just not as explosive as they were on the defensive side of all. So our guy, Danielle Hunter, he's not playing, might not play for the year, one of the best young pass rushers there is. And they're unable to get off the field on third down. So I'm shocked that a Mike Zimmer, tough-minded, physical football team would be able to give up as many points, and especially the lack of fight that they had in the Falcons game on Sunday.
And then there's the lack of consistency, I would say, again, from the quarterback, who's as great a human there is on the planet, and Kirk Cousins. But if we're just talking about a quarterback here, I mean, how do you go 1 week in Seattle where it's all pretty much on tilt, and then the next week, several interceptions and a passer rating that's in the teens. I don't get it. I wonder what you can shed light on here, Chris Carter.
Well, this is what you have to figure when you buy into Kirk Cousins. You have to buy into, there are going to be some Sundays where he is going to be talent challenged because he doesn't have the greatest dimensions in the world. Yeah, he is a nice guy. He is smart. But as you know, on Sundays, when you don't have the overwhelming arm talent or the overwhelming, say, explosive offense around you where you're going to do a lot of things to put a lot of pressure on the defense and you want to be a running football team, guys don't have that much talent. When you have to throw the ball, you get down early. I mean, you run a waggle boot to set the game up, to throw the ball to the rookie, and you throw an interception? Like, those kind of guys, they can't stop the bleeding. As my man Steve Young would say, you know, you got to know when the car has crashed and pull it over and stop the bleeding. And Kirk Cousins just does not have that ability. You know, if you can run the ball, if you can do play action, if you can assist him, give him a short field, have a good defense, multiple possessions on the turnover. Like, you're going to win the turnover battle. Yeah, Kirk Cousins can get you into the playoffs. And that's what he has gotten the Vikings. And the Vikings have paid the king's ransom to be able to have a guy that, to me, is at the top. He's only going to get you to the first or second round of the playoffs. There are too many gunslingers. There are too many dominant quarterbacks and too many great defensive fronts for the Vikings. What's their weakness? That offensive line. When you go against the Green Bays and you go against the San Franciscos, the Seattles, and all those teams, I mean, it's hard to match up. And then you can't outsling Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. Like, man, it's difficult in the NFC, but that's my team, man. And that's just my perspective on my team that I watch every week.
Chris Carter, Pro Football Hall of Famer, 8-time Pro Bowler here. On the Rich Eisen Show, what do you think is going? All right, what's the challenge now for the Dolphins, who, as we know, uncorked Tua as the starter? They're in a bye week, and again, you mentioned rightfully so, unique 2020. No OTAs, no training camp, no preseason. All they've had is just with Tua is what they've had in practice, and then just that cup of coffee at the end of the Jets game when there were hardly any starters out there on the field with him. What's the challenge here to get him up to speed now for a team that does have a shot at the division, Chris?
Rich, how many times have you, because you've been at a lot of good networks and you work with a lot of talented people. It takes about 15 minutes sometimes. Somebody walks in the door they say something to you, and you're like, wow, there's something different. Or, I thought this person was totally different. Mm-hmm. Tua is a special, special human being. And he is one of the most accurate quarterbacks that we ever had in college football. I look for him in the right environment because, you know, styles make fights in boxing. In the NFL, 99% of us need a system. Tom Brady needs a system. Barry Sanders didn't. Jim Brown didn't. LT didn't. But the rest of us do. All the Hall of Famers, we talk about it. Michael Irvin, he needed a system. Kurt Warner needed that quick release and guys running on the move. This guy in the right environment, I believe the Dolphins and their organization, I respect what they're doing, how they pick players, and I believe that they could build something special in Miami with Tua because I believe he's special. And it's just a matter of time when you get these kind of people in your presence. It's just a matter of time when they're going to get their own show, when they're going to get their own gig. And to me, when they drafted him at number five, it was the sand and the hourglass was just starting to tip to, okay, when is he going to start in his rookie year?
And in terms of the first game, receivers, Irvin's talked to me about this too, about catching a ball from a lefty. It's a different thing, right? That's an adjustment. Wouldn't you agree? Something like that?
Yeah, I learned this from Jerry Rice when they switched over from Joe Montana to Steve Young. He got one of the equipment guys to learn how to throw left-handed, and they used to just play catch on the other side.
I love it.
And when we used to have Steve Young in the Pro Bowl, his ball was totally different than Troy Aikman. That's right. and the other guy. So, absolutely. So, I believe, especially with the bye week, and with him being in that number two spot, being here for several months, I believe that will overcome on that. But he throws a very, very soft and a catchable ball.
Chris,
all right?
Yep.
Just like Steve Young, he's got a little more arm strength than Steve Young had. But it's the same type of thing, that type of accuracy where the ball speaks to the receiver. People say, well, what is that? If you're running across the middle and he hits you on your back hip, that means there ain't green grass in front of you. Slow down. There's traffic out there. If he hits you in stride, typically it's saying run. So I believe he's a special. I believe we're going to see special, special things out of Tua in Miami Dolphins uniform. He is the replacement to Dan Marino. They finally got it.
I feel the same way. I really do, Chris, and I know that, you know, we haven't seen anything yet. I get it professionally, and we've seen so many guys who come out of college with the supposed it factor, and they just don't. I agree with you. I'm all in on this. I really am, you know, big time. And it's funny how,
there are certain people that are born for certain things, and this kid is meant to be – Drew Brees was meant to lead the NFL team. Right? Well, you know Drew. Like, he's like, this dude is a dude's dude. Tua is the same way. He's funny. He's charismatic. Guys on the team love him. Like, and he's got special, special arm talent.
Before I let you go, Chris, I was going to ask you about Cowboys and other stuff, but you mentioned something just a couple minutes ago. I got to pull on this strand. So you say Hall of Famers sit around and talk about systems and who needs it and who doesn't, and I mean, like, what is this at the luncheon, or you're just, you know, you're getting ready to be introduced at the jacket, or, you know, it's a long ass day listening to speeches in between speeches. I mean, walk me through when you have these conversations and who sparks them. Like, how does something like that come up, Chris?
Well, you spend enough time with the gold jackets, man. You know, these guys are not short on confidence.
Yes, I know.
And regardless of what your stats were, they could duplicate that. Michael Irvin, him and I are always talking, and Mike, there's no one you can respect more in the game. But Mike, I swear up and down, if I was in Minnesota, see, I'd have had 1,100 catches, bro, just like you, bro. I had them rings.
That's so true. Perfect. No doubt he believes that, right? No doubt.
Absolutely.
Oh, so that's the sort of conversations you guys have. Go back and forth. And then just in terms of systems, you know, Marshall didn't need a system,
Mel
right?
Always tells me when I say my prayers at night,
yeah,
thank God that you were not born in the 70s. Okay, Mel, I ain't mad at you. But
Chris,
come on, I'm ready.
Chris, I got to be honest with you. You know, as you mentioned, I've been fortunate to be around the hall since before NFL Network was launched in 2003. The first time I laid eyes on Mel Blunt, I said to myself, no wonder they had to change the rules. He just kept going. He just kept going, you know, just looking up Mel Blunt. He just didn't, he just kept going up, 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 up. And then he puts that cowboy hat on top, and it looks like he can give you 10 snaps right now. Really, that guy.
And it's amazing, like him and Mean Joe Green, whatever reputation they have. Man, when we come into the hall, they take us in like little brothers. And, I mean, they can't help but to rib us all the time. But, and to me, these guys are my role models in life. And I tell them, man, I want to be like you after the game. I want people to respect me, you know, 20 years from now, the way they respect them and talk about them. So they continue to be role models for us younger Hall of Famers and continue to set a great example, you know, for how we should conduct ourselves as Go Jackets.
Chris, thanks for the call. Great to see you on the grind tonight. I think you're going to love the piece. And let's do this again.
Absolutely, Rich. Take care, man.
You
keep
got
doing
it.
A great job, bro.
Thanks. Same to you. That's Chris Carter right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Didn't you ask me off the air who are the, you know, like, you don't like Ohio State guys either?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, because you're just ragging on Zeke yesterday.
Then you're like, how many Ohio State guys do you like? And I'm like, a lot of them.
Well, there's one right there.
Yes. We didn't even bring up the Big Ten season starts this weekend.
All he does is catch touchdowns.
Let me tell you this great story. Again, I could go on and on and on. One of our favorite weeks every year is it's the Hall, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing.
Not going this year,
like
having it all canceled, devastating.
Thank you guys so much for taking me the last 2 years.
Oh, come on, TJ. That's part and parcel. I can't wait to get back to all that.
Cannot
you know.
Wait.
It is amazing for those who don't know.
So I got this great story. Let's take a break. I got a great story about one all-time great when he was playing. It's a great Marshall story.
Love it.
And running into a guy who is a Hall of Famer on the sideline. This is a great story. And then our poll question to on the opposite end of the spectrum is a pop culture question. It's fantastic. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on The Rich Eisen Show, live on Peacock and Sirius XM and The Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network. Old Spice now has Below Deck, a new line of products for your, well, below deck area. New Below Deck Powder Spray helps you feel drier and cleaner down below. New Below Deck Anti-Chafe Stick helps prevent inner thigh chafing. Nobody wants that. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/oldspicebelowdeck. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. YouTube.com/RichEisen Show is our spot where you can go right down a rabbit hole, wormhole, and just watch all of our past guests and even some of the shows that we had over the spring and summer. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to use this moment, if you don't mind, to set something up for later in the week. We should recut, if you will, the Tua story about how he pissed off Nick Saban and play it maybe tomorrow or Friday. Because you just heard Chris Carter say that Tua's a dynamic person and he's funny. That was when he told that story on our set at the Super Bowl this year, in the spot where he was eventually going to be drafted, and now he's the starting quarterback in Miami. That's a hell of a story, and the way he tells it is hilarious. And let's do that.
Yeah, it's quick. I can post it on our...
You could post it, but I want to air it on this show tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll post it online.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. So, great chat with Chris Carter. And being a fly on the wall at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, as we do every year when we do our show from there, because I've been, you know, the host of NFL Network's coverage of the Hall every summer, with the exception of the time that my oldest son, Zan, was born 12 years ago. He's born in early August, so didn't want to miss that. So I missed, I think that was the year Art Monk went in. That was the class that I missed. But at any rate, just being around these goats and how, you know, there's only 300 plus of them on the planet, and many of them are no longer with us. So it's rarefied air that, you know, when you say, I did this, I did that, and somebody can literally go over the top on you. I mean, that there's, but the fact that everybody views each other as the same level playing field is remarkable. Just remarkable. It's fun. Now then, there are people who know that they're headed there, too. Mm-hmm.
They won't admit it. They won't talk about it because it's like Fight Club. You never know.
Right.
And those people are worthy of enshrinement, not only because of what they do on the field, but their respect of the game is already woven into their fabric. And respect their elders, preparing them for the moment that they get the jacket and the bust in the room. Not everyone's like that, but most are usually wired that way. Like my buddy Marshall Faulk told me a story when the Rams were going against the Cardinals. And I forget who was an Arizona Cardinal at the time, or Phoenix Cardinal, whatever the hell it was. But so-and-so, the running back was just barking at his sideline all day and wasn't nearly on the level as Marshall Faulk. I forget who the name of the running back was. It doesn't matter. Just fill in the blank. It's not Marshall's status. So Marshall was getting pissed about it. And he came up with a big play and barked at the entire Cardinals sideline, like went down the row and noticed as he's going down the row, defensive line coach Mean Joe Green was standing right in the middle of his disrespect barrage back at the Arizona Cardinals.
I like that.
And when he was done going down the row, he went back and he looked at Mean Joe Green and said, "Not you, Mr. Green. I don't mean it for you." And he said, Mean Joe kind of just gave him a nod of thank you, but I also understand what this idiot is doing to you, too. I love that three-dimensional goat chessboard that some of these guys work on that the rest of the league does not. So when Chris Carter says Justin Jefferson is poised to join he and Moss in that pantheon, that's significant.
That's high praise.
That's significant. And he also dropped down. Don't forget. I mean, you talk about how CeeDee Lamb was available for the Cowboys. The fact that this guy was available for the Vikings and the Eagles didn't take him. That's something that when they're going with Travis Fulgham now, who's balling out.
Yeah, he's playing.
I know, but at any rate. I love the stories like that. Just love it. Love,
Rich,
love, love.
At one point you said about the Hall of Famers being on the same level, but they're not when they first get in, right? Because when they do that luncheon,
yes,
the newer inductees, they can't speak.
Correct. Every week kicks off with a luncheon for all of the returning Hall of Famers to welcome in the new class and treat them like pledges. And that was first created, that luncheon and tradition was created by the great Packer linebacker Ray Nitschke. He passed away, and then it was Deacon Jones who took over that spot as well. And I believe now, is it Willie Davis? It's it kind of escapes me who's in charge of that room. I think Irvin's got his eye on that position at some point one day, because it's basically like, you've done a great job in your career. You're now in the Hall of Fame. Welcome. We're going to haze you for the next hour and a half, but then give you a say as well. And it's your time to understand as well that you represent everyone in this room and those who have now passed on that used to be in this room. And you must conduct yourself in a manner to make sure you do not sully what's in this room and what this room is about. It's pretty cool. And, you know, we set up our spot last few years doing our show there right across the entryway. And so you watch guys in these gold jackets just stroll down the hall to go in the luncheon, go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And then some of them, when they do go to the bathroom, will take their drink with them. And it's 1 p.m. and they're a couple of fingers already into that drink.
Oh, yeah. And plus, because
fantastic.
We have that big glass wall we're behind, so everyone will, like, they'll see you and they'll look in.
They'll pound the glass
on the door.
And they'll be like, hey, come on in.
Like, hey, this is Franco Harris.
Come in. I think that's how we got Charles Haley one year to join Irv. Michael Irvin and Charles Haley together.
Stalked Charles Haley.
Well, yes, that's right. You want to talk about, you know, like the flying Walenda tightrope across the Grand Canyon equivalent of live television and radio simulcast broadcasting. Michael Irvin and Charles Haley together is that. I did not have my pole to keep me balanced the entire time on that high wire.
That was amazing. That was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It's great. It really is great. And you know,
can't
next year.
Back.
Well, next year, if everything, knock on wood, if you're with me and we're able to go as a human race out and about for something. Because you want to talk about a group of people who are in the high risk category. You're talking about returning Hall of Famers.
Right.
You know, so next year it's the 2020 class and the 2021 class together, as you know. So that's a lot of speechifying. That's a lot.
Hopefully they figure that out.
Yeah, because there are some all-time greats that we love having.
Brockman, can you write down disrespect barrage, too? Because Rich said that earlier.
Disrespect barrage. Marshall telling that story is fantastic. I've told two Marshall Faulk stories in back-to-back shows. The other one where Peyton Manning, I told that to Tony Dungy yesterday. Peyton Manning coming out of college threw 27 interceptions.
Yeah, man.
But as we all know, it worked out for Peyton.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that.
You know, it worked out. Worked out for the right decision for the Colts.
No disrespect to the number two.
No, and Marshall would say all the time that Peyton would try and fit a ball on the sideline or fit a ball in that window, and he'd get picked off. 27 interceptions for Peyton Manning as a rookie.
That's a lot.
And he said Peyton would just mutter under his breath, run him back to the sideline. I didn't think he could get there, meaning he didn't think that the defender would be able to cut off the route or jump the route or get to the pass because he thought the window was wide enough, and it didn't happen. And Marshall didn't say anything for a long time until he finally just said, Peyton, you're in the NFL. They can all get there.
Kind of goes back to the Clemson story you spoke about yesterday about could Clemson beat an NFC East team.
No chance. Like,
Peyton would make those throws at Tennessee, but
no chance.
You can't make the same throws.
Well, remember, that was the conversation a couple of years ago. Could Alabama beat the Browns? They would be four touchdown underdogs to the Browns.
No chance. This is a grown-ass man's league. You know, I would proffer to say, though, when we started at NFL Network, that sophomores and juniors in college would not be equipped to play in the NFL, either mentally or physically. And that's changed now. And I know that there's a rule. You got to be 3 years removed from your high school graduation in order to be eligible to be drafted. And there's a reason for that, I thought, at the time. Remember Mike Williams and Maurice Claret were both challenging that? You know, they weren't ready. Claret personally wasn't. He's admitted that since then. But now, you know, Fournette has shown... Guys like Fournette, Trevor Lawrence have shown. Yeah. You know what I want to hit to? I want to use my platform of something that I'm beginning to already see out there about Trevor Lawrence should avoid the Jets. I do feel the need. I need to address this subject.
Yeah, there's a lot out there about that.
It's now every day. It's now happening every day. It's now happening every day. And I've got the cure for that. I've got the cure.
Does it come in a bottle?
No, it comes in a prescription known as the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey
now.
I got a prescription, and I need a little less cowbell on that subject matter. Little less. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. All right, that poll question, I promise you, that's coming up on the other side for the radio audience, too.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah.
Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.